promise we have, I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me. That's God's desire, to have that kind of intimate relationship, family relationship, us, his people, with him. Not servants, not creatures, sons, daughters. Intimate. That's our Lord's desire. The Lord came into the world to make that possible. But the Lord doesn't force his love on any of us. We have free will. We have free choice. But if we choose to reject it, please understand that we are rejecting the love of God. Not a harsh judge who is even neutral about us, but a God who desires so much to have us in that right place and that right relationship with him. There is a story I came across this week, and it touched me. It's from Lives of the Saints. It's about St. Basil the Fool for Christ of Moscow. This St. Basil lived in the 15th century. And there's a whole category of saints in the church called Fools for Christ. I really like to read about them because they often do things that at first we scratch our heads. That doesn't make sense. Why are they doing that? They seem so unusual. But then we later get the point. This story is one of many about this St. Basil. It says that he often had a habit. He approached houses of people who were drinking and cursing, doing various immoral acts in those houses. He went up to the walls of the house and he kissed the house. He kissed the walls of the house. And then people noticed there were houses of pious Christians, probably inside praying, doing the right thing, showing love to one another. It says that this St. Basil, the Fool for Christ, would go to those homes of pious Christians and he would throw stones at those walls. Well, of course that's puzzling. When people asked him why he was doing that, he replied, "When a house falls into sin, angels come out of it and they stand by the walls crying. For this I go and I kiss them." At the houses that live piously, the demons cannot enter, and they stay out by the walls. And that's why I throw stones at them. It's a profound story to ponder. Reminds us that we are always engaged in some kind of spiritual warfare. And even if we have found this good place with the Lord, there are still demons around outside the walls, ready to pounce in if we only let them. And sometimes we do, and that's why we need to repent again and again and be cleansed. That's what the epistle says. Cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. St. Paul is writing these words to Christian people. And he said, you've been given this wonderful gift. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. So maintain it. Maintain the purity of that. And what does that mean? He spells it out. Come out from among people that are not living godly lives. Don't be like them. Be separate. He even says it further, touch nothing unclean. Touch nothing. Don't even go close to it. As well as don't invite it into your house. Touch nothing unclean. church fathers commenting on this make it clear that one of the primary things St. Paul was talking about to these Gentile Christians is sexual immorality, and how these once now redeemed Christians are now slowly falling back into the old ways of sexual immorality. There is no new morality in the Orthodox Church, and there never will be. What the Church believes is what has always been believed about what is correct and incorrect. And sin always leads to hurt and pain and misery. And the worst of all, it leads to a separation from God. Instead of having the angels by our side, we invite demons to walk with us. And as a result of that, there is no peace. There is no inner strength, the presence of God, and our lives are chaotic and not restful. Lord, have mercy. Cleanse ourselves, and then renew that sense of separation. I'm not going to be like the world. I'm not going to do what the world does. And with God's help, I will live this good life that the Lord has. United, me and the Lord, our family, and have his peace, his strength, his rest. So if that means, hey, we hate sin, we hate sin. We really do. And the fact the Psalms say that, have a hatred for sin and for evil. Now, you can take that and go to the extreme of then we hate sinners. No, no, no. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And those are people that are maybe within the church that at times fall away, they backslide, they get deceived, and they become worldly. God loves them, and we are to love them. That also applies to people outside the church, many who don't even know what they're doing. God loves them. He came into the world to save sinners. And so we look then at this wonderful gospel for today. Wow, what a gospel. It's the story of the Canaanite woman. Now, this woman is the opposite of people in the epistle that are Christian people that have already established that relationship with the Lord. This woman is she's an outsider. And the beautiful aspect of this story is that the Lord is reaching out to her, just as he is through St. Paul reaching out to those within the church that are misled. And to this woman of Cana, it says, Jesus went to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and cried, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. That's an amazing, remarkable statement. She is not part of the covenant people of Israel. She does not know the law. But obviously she has been seeking. And there were people outside the covenant people of Israel that were seeking God. They were called Gentiles. And she's one of them. And she knows enough to come out from her town. And the Lord, amazingly, is going out from Israel, beyond the borders of ancient Israel. And he's reaching out to her because he knows this woman will be there. He knows her need. He knows her seeking. Amazing. And there's this beautiful connection in this gospel. She calls, she kneels before him, she calls him Lord and Son of David. And so that means she really has been studying, and church fathers say, though, she's also separating herself. The fact that she leaves where she was, her town, to go out to meet the Lord, she's leaving that old worldly life. that old Gentile way of life, and she wants to meet the Savior. And the Lord is there to meet her. He's left the his people of Israel. He's going out for her. And then this connection. It's a strange story because there's this dialogue that ensues. The Lord is she's asking for mercy for her daughter. And the Lord is first silent, not because he doesn't want to help her and grant her pious request. No, he wants us to see something about this woman that becomes a role model for us. So at first he's silent. And then we have these words that are really strange to hear. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, he says that first as a way to kind of, some would say, put her off. But actually, not so. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but that includes the house of Israel, those that from the Gentile nations that also want to know him. If you read the prophets, you really see that. So that's this woman who is going to be brought in to the house of Israel. But you have to read a little closely to see that. But the Jewish people that were observing, ready to be critics, the Lord's point to them is, I haven't rejected you. I came to my own, as St. John says, my own received me not. And so whoever is willing to receive, the Lord receives. He receives this woman. The next part, though, is a little more troubling, difficult to grasp. It's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The Lord said that. As if he's calling her, like many of the Jewish people looked upon Gentile people, as dogs. Why did they call them dogs? They called them dogs because they were behaving like dogs. They would, again, practice sexuality with whoever, and they were not living according to the law that God had given. They were people that would at times be very violent, like a dog might bark and bite. Yeah. Now we think of dogs and we think of our little house pets. Dogs can be tamed. And you may think of that in terms of a dog is progressing when at least becomes tamed. But there's something greater than an identity as a house pet dog. That's to be a son and daughter of God. And that's what the Lord is going to transform this woman into being. She was once in that category that Jewish people called dogs. But now she's going to become a daughter of God. He came to his own received him not. But all who received him, he gave and believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. The paradox is the people that, Jewish people, that so opposed Christ and so rejected him, they are in the end labeled in Scripture as dogs. Psalm 22 says it, and the Lord says, Psalm 22 from the cross, yea, dogs are around me. A company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. This woman is not only there for herself, she's primarily there for her daughter. That's another beautiful part of the story, that the Lord sees in her this compassion for her daughter, a fellow Gentile who is now demonized, and that's what happens when we go the wrong way, and begging the Lord to have mercy. The woman says, even the little dogs eat crumbs from the master's table. Wow, that's humility. Not only faith, she comes, humility in how she deals with the Lord, even when it looks like an offensive statement he's made to her. Humility. She seeks to understand what she doesn't understand and appeals to his mercy. Well, as a result of that, the Lord praises her. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Her daughter was healed instantly. She becomes a role model for us, a role model of people who separate from the world and intercede for people that are in the world with the Lord's love and compassion, and a role model for us of, as we look at this whole story, God's calling, hate sin, absolutely, love the sinner. If you're like me, sometimes I have to confess, I don't do either of those properly. Lord, have mercy. I need to do both better with God's help. And then we look at this story. What conclusion do we draw? We can live our lives like a dog, or we can live our lives like a child of God. What a difference it makes. How hard it is. Yeah, the path to holiness is not snap, quick, and easy. And that's why the epistle today has those words that end in it. It says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, God's gift to us is something we grow into. It's not like we're instantaneously perfect. We keep repenting. We keep reminding ourselves of the truth. We keep turning to the Lord to help us in those areas where we are weak. We pray daily the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. And lead us not into temptation, because we know temptation is all around us, but deliver us from evil. We're here today. I pray you feel reminded of truth, encouraged to walk the right path that leads to all of God's blessings as we are his sons and daughters. If you're here today and you have sin to confess, you've come to a good place. The Lord is forgiving, merciful. And we drink Holy Communion for the forgiveness of our sins, for cleansing, for renewal, and for the Lord to be in communion with us and us with him as his sons, his daughters. With that too, our heart is enlarged with a love and a compassion for the world the Lord came to save. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.